Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Vav. We begin about six lines from the top with the words Torah Rabbanim. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Benjamin Platt, Dov Meir Ben Meir Halevi. Eliot Platt's father, as I mentioned, Eliot is the one who provides me with all of these shards. He's been a member of the shir for many cycles. His holy father's neshama should have an Eliot. We're also learning today Le'ili Nishmas Bella Werblowski, Bela Bas Schneer Zalman. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah. Now, let us begin. Tanu Rabbanan, six lines at the top, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Gemara begins an interesting discussion about what you can be yotze with matzah on Leil Pesach. So the Braisa says, Yachol yotze adam yedei chovoso b'maiser sheni b'yushalayim. One might have thought, the Braisa says, that you could be yotze with maiser sheni matzah, even though you're eating in Yushalayim. You might have thought that you can be doing that, and it's no problem, there's no isser, you're allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni, of course, in Yerushalayim, you must eat the Maaser Sheni produce in Yerushalayim, so you might have thought that you can use Maaser Sheni grains and make matzah out of them, perfectly kosher matzah, not chametz, and you might have thought you can fulfill your obligation with those matzahs. So the Tanakhama, the Spraisa, says that no, you can't. We'll see this is Rav Yosef Galili's opinion. He says, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk tells us that matzah must be lechem oni. Now that's how it's pronounced. It's pronounced oni, and it's spelled with an ayin. However, we make a play on the words, oni with an ayin, and oni, which comes from the root of aninus, a person who nebuch is in the process of having lost one of the seven relatives that a person has to sit shiva for. So until they're buried, he's called an onen. And an onen is not allowed to have maaser sheni. So therefore, the pasuk tells us it has to be lechem oni, mashenechal baninus. It must be something that is capable of being eaten while you're in aninus. And therefore, yotzeh zeh, it excludes from this discussion, from being allowed to be yotzeh, the mitzvah of eating matzah on Leil Pesach, she'eino nechal baninus, with something that cannot be eaten while you're an onen, such as maaser sheni. And the reason behind that is because it must be something that's eaten ela besimcha. It has to be able to be something that's eaten besimcha, and maaser sheni is only allowed to be eaten besimcha. It can't be eaten ba'aninus, and therefore lechem oni comes to exclude something that can't be eaten ba'aninus, such as maaser sheni, and therefore it is forbidden to be fulfilling your mitzvah of eating batzah Leil Pesach with maaser sheni produce, even though you're eating in Yerushalayim, there's no technical problem. Divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzos ribo. We had this in yesterday's discussion also, that the extra word saying matzos, so that extra usage of the word matzos comes to be marba all types of matzah, even including maaser sheni. So again, a fundamental difference in opinion over here between Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, who says you can't use maaser sheni produce to make kosher matzah on Pesach to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Akiva says that you can. No, what does Rabbi Akiva do with the pasuk oni that Rabbi Yosi HaGlili brought down? Rabbi Akiva Omer, he says, Imkein ma talmud lomar lechem oni. Why then does the pasuk use this lashon of lechem oni? So he says the word oni is prat le'isa shenilosha biyayin v'shemen udvash. It comes to exclude using this rich bread, this matzah ashira. It must be oni. It must be poor man's bread. The word oni is a play on the word ani, a poor person, and therefore you can't use rich person's bread, matzah ashira, which is kneaded with either wine or oil or dvash, either bee honey or date honey. So all of these are not acceptable, according to Rabbi Akiva, based upon the usage of the word lechem oni. Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Akiva, where does he get this from? Why does he use the drasha oni to exclude ani and not aninus, like Rabbi Yosi HaGlili did? So Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva says the word isn't spelled with a vav. Miksiv lechem oni with a vav. It doesn't say lechem oni with a vav. It's a ksiv ukri. And therefore, you pronounce the word oni because it's spelled without the vav. So he says oni is the way it's ksiv. It's the way it's spelled out. And therefore, that's the drasha that you should make, oni rather than oni. No, why doesn't Rabbi Yosi HaGlili agree with that? Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, he says the word is not pronounced oni, the word is pronounced lechem oni. So mi korinon oni, we don't read the word oni, we read the word oni korinon. The way that we pronounce it is the critical factor, not the way that it's printed. So this is a fundamental machlok between Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva as to which is the more priority usage of this word oni. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the pronunciation of oni is the way to make the connection to aninus, and Rabbi Akiva says no, it's the way it's written, oni, making the connection, not matzah shira, is the priority of this drasha of the word oni and not oni. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have a problem over here. Why do we pronounce the word oni? Why don't we say that this should be lechem oni? What is the reason to pronounce it oni? For Rabbi Akiva, hide the karina be oni, the reason why it's pronounced oni, albeit it's spelled oni, that's because of what Shmuel said, Kid Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Akiva lived, of course, many years before Shmuel, but this is a drasha that is attributed to Shmuel, but it was already known at the time of Rabbi Akiva, just known as Shmuel's drasha, Kid Shmuel. And we have this many times throughout Shas that we do this, that you have an Amoraic statement that the Tanoim are discussing, because it's not the actual statement that Shmuel made that they're talking about. They're talking about the content of what Shmuel said. So this drasha was well known even in times of Rabbi Akiva, but it's attributed to Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Lechem Oni, the reason why it's pronounced Oni, even though the drasha, according to Rabbi Akiva, is Oni, is because Lechem Sha'oni Malov Dvarim Harbe, because it's another play on the word Oni to teach us that you have to have Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, you have to say many things. Kolam Harbe, Harezem Mishubach, that we say many things, we discuss lots of Torah while we're having the Seder. And therefore, it's Lechem Oni, it's a play on the word Oni, not only Oni, to teach us that it's Matzah is out there. We say many different Torah. We talk about Yitzipur, Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah say Doraisa to discuss the many, many multiple miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why it's spelled Oni and pronounced Oni according to Rabbi Akiva. We don't have the converse question on Rabbi Saglili. How come it is spelled without the Vav if the drasha is Oni? We don't ask the question here. Why? What does Rabbi Yossi Aglili do with the fact that it's spelled Oni? In any event, the Gemara continues. It questions this. According to our understanding right now, Rabbi Akiva said that you're not allowed to use Matzah Shira. He darshans that out from Oni. So you can't use Matzah Shira to be fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach night. Is that really true? The Gemara says, V'sava Rabbi Akiva, Iso Shini Losha B'yai V'shem V'vash Lo. You really can't use a dough matzah that's made with wine or with oil or with honey to fulfill the mitzvah. But I'll show you that he disagrees with that. For Tanya, we learned the Befeirush in a Braisa. Now, according to the way that we're going to understand this, there's a Tanakami here who's making the following statement. Ain loshin isor b'pesach. You're not allowed to use a dough on Pesach that's made b'yayin v'shem u'dvash, that is made with the wine, the oil, or honey. That's matzah shira. You must use matzah that is lechem oni. That's the Tanakhama's opinion, period. The imlosh. Now, we have, what happens if somebody did bid the evet, they used these ingredients? Are they acceptable bid the evet for matzah or not? You shouldn't have done it l'chatchila. But if you did it, bid the evet, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, tisarf miyad. You must go and burn this dough right away before it can become chametz. The yayin, the shemen, and the vash, they are machmitz faster, according to this opinion, than regular water, and therefore, you better quickly go and burn this dough before it becomes chametz. There's no isser in adding it. The isser is that it should become chametz, and it will become chametz very quickly. So therefore, Ramlil says, go and burn the dough miyat. Don't bake it. Don't do anything with it. Go and burn this dough immediately so you destroy the chametz. As Rashi points out, v'bnei shekrova, it will very, very quickly become chametz. Vein adam yocholu shomra, and you can't go and continuously knead it and make sure that it doesn't become chametz. Therefore, im losh, if you did by accident put in wine, oil, or honey, to serve miyad, go and immediately go and destroy it before it becomes chametz. That's the opinion of Gamliel. On the other hand, the chacham mamrim ye ochel. No, a person can go bake it right away. That's the way Rashi understands it. The kusavri epshul shomer, you can maintain it in a non-chametz state by very, very quickly putting it into the oven. And Rashi says, we're not goris the word over here, that te ochel miyad, because once you put it into the oven and bake it, it's not going to become chametz. So quickly, quickly go and bake it right away. And in this situation, the mishenefe, once it's baked, lo tachmetz, it can't have the potential to become chametz anymore. Now, the Rabbeinu Chananel has the gears over here. He says, tochal miyad means pirush im ofa. Even after you bake it, you should eat it right away. So, Rabbeinu Chananel seems to have a little bit different understanding than Rashi. We'll just learn simple like Rashi, that it means that as long as you're very, very careful to go and bake it right away, it won't become chametz. So the chachamim allow you to go and take this dough that was made with the yayin shemen advash, as long as you made very sure that it was baked right away and didn't become chametz, because it becomes faster than with water, it could become chametz potentially faster, therefore you must bake it right away. Now, here's what we introduce Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, no problem to be losh with yayin shemen udvash. And this is the stira. Here Rabbi Akiva clearly says, remember Rabbi Akiva, Shavasi ha'isa etzel Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva was a star pupil of these two great Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, famous Bali Plukta throughout Shas. And Rashi explains, Shivisasi ha'isa regel pesach echad etzel Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. One time he was by them by Pesach night, by the Seder, and he prepared the matzah for them, and he made it from matzah shira. V'lashti lohem iso b'yayi v'shem advash, and I made for them this matzah that was matzah shira below armuli dover, and they said, yeshekoyach, they didn't say anything to me. How can you do that? It's chametz. No, they said it's perfectly good. So this will be the question. We continue reading the brisa, but this is the question. How can you tell me that Rabbi Kiva holds lechem oni means that it can't be matzah shira? Here he clearly says that it can be matzah shira. So this is the question. We'll have to reconcile the stira. But first, let's continue reading the brisa. Then it says, v'afa pi shein loshen. Now, this goes back on the Tanakhama, as the Gemara will say. The Tanakhama said, ain loshen itzah v'pesach v'yayin shemen d'vash. Now, it says, v'afa pi shein loshen, even though the Tanakhama holds you did not let it go and knead the dough with the wine, the oil, or the honey, nevertheless, mikatvin bo, you are allowed to go and smear it with some of these ingredients, the wine, the oil, or the honey, after you made the dough with water, and you're careful not to let it be machmis. You made it very quickly and didn't let the dough rise. But right before you put it in the oven, you're allowed to go baste it. You're allowed to go smear on it some wine, oil, or honey. That is okay, because in that quick second that you baste it, then put it in the oven, even if you say it's going to become chametz faster, krova umemaheris lahachmetz, which is the Tanakhama's opinion, nevertheless, you are allowed to quickly baste it and put it into the oven. That won't ruin it. Now, this, the Gemara says, Asan the Tanakhama. This is a reflection back on the Tanakhama statement that has nothing to do with the statement of the Chacham. That is going according to the Tanakhama, who say that if you can't, while you can't do Lisha, you are allowed to do this Kituf. You're allowed to go and baste it. On the other hand, the Chachamim, who argue with the Tanakhama, and they said, Bidiyevet, Im Losh, they said that Yeyachal, you're allowed to go and bake it right away and eat it. They say, the Chachamim Omrim, if you're allowed to do Lisha, you're allowed to do Katifa. You can do the basting. But if you're not allowed to do Lisha, Vesha ain't Loshinbo, ain't Mekatvinbo. If you say you're not allowed to do this Lisha, you're also not allowed to do the Kituf. The basting isn't any better. It's not going to be less likely to become Chametz than actual kneading it. So either you can knead it and you can baste it, or you can't baste it and you can't knead it. Now, the Gemara concludes the Brisa, the Shavit, and says that everybody's in agreement. The Tanakhama, Rabbi Gamliel, and the Chachamim, she'ein loshin es iso b'poshrim, that you can't use it with lukewarm water. Rashi says, that's certainly memarin lahachmetz. The warm water is going to be, the lukewarm water is certainly going to make it chametz very quickly, even more so than either the yayin shemen advash, and certainly more than regular cold water. When you have to use, to bake the matzah, you have to use mayim shalonu. We'll see this later on. It means water that's at a certain room temperature. It can't be lukewarm. Now, bottom line is, we finished the brisa. We had said that Rabbi Akiva's drashas lechem oni means lechem oni. It means it has to be a poor man's bread. It can't be matzah shira. So from that drasha, we said that Rabbi Akiva holds you can't use matzah shira. But here in this price, he says, I made matzah shira in front of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and they never said boo. Therefore, you see that Rabbi Akiva holds that you can use matzah shira. So we have a stira between the two statements attributed to Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, that's not a problem. Lo kasha. Ha b'yom tov rishon, ha b'yom tov sheni. It depends when. If you want to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Leil Pesach, that must be lechem oni. That has to be the lechem that is a poor person's bread. Lechem oni means oni. That's the drasha. And therefore, on Leil Pesach, you can't use matzah shira. But it's not because it will become chametz with matzah shira. It's just that there's a restriction that you can't use matzah shira to fulfill the mitzvah. And this is based upon Kedomar, Lu, Rabbi Yeshua. Now that's the case that we have on the Bach. It says it should be Rishu ben Levi, Livnei, that says to his children. And he said as follows, Yom Makama, on the first night, Leil Pesach, Lo Talushali Bechalova. Don't go and make for me matzah that is kneaded with milk. Now, you never know whether chalava means milk or whether it means chalav. So Rashi says that the problem we'll see over here is that if you make a milchaka bread, you may come to eat it with fleisha. So we'll see that this chalava over here is referring to milk. So he says, don't make for me a matzah that instead of water, you use milk to go and knead it. But that's only on the night of the Seder. But afterwards, the rest of Pesach, if you wanted to, you can make for me matzah that is made as matzah shira. There's no difference between milk or yayin, shemen, udvash, we're assuming. And therefore, he said that you can make this type of matzah the rest of Pesach, because it's not a question of chametz. It's only a question that on the first night, you must have matzah that is lechem oni, which means oni. So this is the difference. Rabbi Akiva is not having a stira. He says, for the Seder, you can't have matzah shira. But for Pesach, you can have matzah shira. But there's one problem over here. We learned previously that you're not allowed to have milchaka bread or fleishaka bread because there's a problem that you may come to mistakenly eat it with, if it's milchaka bread, with fleishaka, because you don't realize that bread is bread. It looks like bread. You'll, all of a sudden, you'll make a sandwich with salami and you're having a milchaka bread. Or vice versa, you have a piece of bread that has fleishaka schmaus inside of it and then you go put butter on it. So this is a problem. But Tanya, we learned, ein loshen esu'isa b'cholav. You're not allowed to go make a milchaka bread. Likewise, you're not allowed to make a fleishaka bread. And in fact, the imlosh kol ha'pasasura. And when you make such a bread, the entire bread is aser. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Shulman Levi told his children that it's okay to make a milchaka bread? So Gemara says, no, you're right. That's a mistake in the gears. This is what Yeshua ben Levi said to his children. He said, for the Seder, Yom HaKama, lo talushali bedufsha, don't make me honey matzah on the first night, because you need to have oni, lechem oni, which is darshan oni, and it can't be matzah shira on the first night for the Seder. But it's not because it's chametz, it's because of this drasha that it has to be poor man's bread. However, the rest of Pesach, we can't be elach lushali bedusha. No problem. Matzah shira is perfectly permissible for the rest of Pesach. And that is Rabbi Akiva's reconciliation between his statement that you can't use matzah shira. You must have lechem oni, which is oni at the Seder, but the rest of Pesach, no problem. That's teretz number one, that he didn't say the word b'chalova with milk. He said it with dufsha, with honey, which is parva. No problem. Alternatively, Vibayisem, he told them, and this is the halacha l'maisa, that there is a way to make a milchaka bread, or there is a way to make a fleishaka bread. So we pointed out, if it clearly looks like it, intrinsically it looks like it, you have a cheese Danish, or you have a meat pie, so they clearly are a milchaka. Nobody's going to take a cheese Danish and have it with a piece of fleishaks. And nobody's going to take a meat pie and have it with milk and a cup of coffee. Because it clearly looks milchaka, it clearly looks fleishaka. There's also another teretz, how you can have a milchaka bread or a fleishaka bread. If you make a very, very small amount, then it's only going to be enough for that one meal. You're going to finish it off at that one time. So it's a very small piece, and therefore there's no concern that you'll leave it around and you'll forget it, and by accident you'll have it with the opposite type of milchaka or fleishaka later on. So if there's a milchaka bread, but it's a very small piece, and you eat it up all right now, so then you don't have to be concerned, and you could make such a milchaka bread. Same thing with a fleishaka bread, because if you eat it in one sitting, and that's the second teretz we give. No, he actually told them, b'chalava. He said, bake for me milchaka bread, milchaka matzah, actually, for the rest of Pesach. He did tell him to make it with milk. But this was done in a permissible way. Kidama Ravina, as we learned in a statement that Ravina made, ke'ein Torah shari, if you make it very small amount, like the eye of an ox, ke'ein, like the eye of a Torah, of an ox, then it's permissible. So therefore, Ravina had said, this is the loch l'maisa, if you make a very small amount of the milchaka bread or fleishaka bread, that's a one sitting eating, that's permissible. So to Ovier, he told them, make me a small amount of matzah, that's a milchaka matzah, hochanami ke'ein Torah. So that was what he told his children, and therefore that was permissible, and we can substantiate and leave the girsa that he told them, don't make for me this milchaka bread for the say tonight, but you can make for me this milchaka matzah, this dough that was kneaded with milk for the rest of Pesach, because you make a very small amount of it, and that's permissible. Now the Gemara said in this brisa, Bishav, and everybody agreed, Shein Loshin Esu Isa Biposhman, that everybody agrees that if you use lukewarm water to make this dough, it's going to become chametz very, very quickly. There's no way to be watching it to not let it become chametz, and therefore never make the dough with lukewarm water. Gemara says, but we see that you can make matzah requiring types of breads for the menachos, for example, that are also required to be matzah. A mincha can never be brought with the two exceptions, one of which we said was the lach betoda, the 10 breads of the toda that are in fact allowed to be brought as chametz. And there's one other exception as well, the shtei halacha that are brought with the kivsei atzeres on Shavuos are also allowed to be made from chametz. In any event, we clearly see over here that a mincha normally is matzah, And therefore, one shouldn't be allowed to make the mincha, a carbon mincha, with poshrim water. But we see, we are allowed to use poshrim to make the mincha. So how come that's allowed over there? Aren't we concerned that it'll become chametz and the mincha can't become chametz? Ma'ishnomi minachos. By minachos, it says that now we have a mishnah in minachos which tells us, kol ha-minachos need loshim b'poshrim. You are, in fact, allowed to use lukewarm water to make various types of breads that are mincha offerings. And here we see that you're not. And there we said, you're allowed to make it. Why? Umishamrim shelo yachmitzu. The gear should be umishamrin. We have mishtamrin, but it should be umishamron shelo yachmitzu. That one has to be very careful that it shouldn't become chametz. It's not that it becomes chametz instantly. It becomes chametz quicker. So you have to make this mincha offering much more quickly and constantly make sure that you're stirring it so it doesn't become chametz. But you are allowed to use hot water. How come by Pesach everybody said you can't use hot water? So the Gemara gives a very practical teretz. It says, in Omer Bezrizin, if you're telling me that by Kohanim who are making the Korban Mincha, who are very well studied and stooped in this understanding of how to make sure that the mincha doesn't become chametz, they're experts in the field, and there's reason the mitzvos, the Kohanim, were known for their alacrity in performing the mitzvos and their knowledge of all these things. So, okay, there we allow them to make it with lukewarm water because it won't become chametz. Yom Ru B'Shein's reason? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is making matzah in their own house. So, are we going to let this heter that we give to the Zrizim Kohanim be a across-the-board heter to allow people to do it? No. Regular people, if they use lukewarm water, there's going to be tons of chametz around on Pesach. Only the Kohanim, who are very zealous and careful in the performance of mitzvahs, do we allow them to use lukewarm water. The Gemara says, if that's true, ihachi, so then, milsis means over here soaking the grains in water to help you go and remove their shells. So they would normally, when you're not concerned with matzah in the chametz processing, so they would go and soak it in water to help remove the shells, the chaff over here from the grain. So milsis, to go and make it wet with water, you should allow them as well, the Kohanim, nami losis, to let the Kohanim do this, because there's reason, and they'll be very, very careful. And therefore, we should let them go and soak these grains in water before they go and make them. But we don't. Alomo Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel. We see that this entire listing of Amoraim said in the name of Shmuel, Chitin Shel Menachos Ein Lo Sinoso. We do not allow you to go and soak these grains before you go and use them to make the mincha. So how come? If there's reason, why are you letting them make the mincha with dough with lukewarm water? You should also let them do losasin if there's reason, hein. So Gemara says, no. Lisha, the action of the kneading with the lukewarm water, that was done bedafka by the Kohanim. Bizrizin Isa. That was done by the Kohanim. But the soaking, lesisa, leisa bizrizin, that could be done even by Izar. That could be done by people that weren't expert and weren't so careful, and therefore the rabbi said, no, don't do the lesisa, because non-experts, non-Kohanim Zrizin, may do that, and therefore there's too much of a chance that it'll become chametz, and of course the mincha can't become chametz. Shmuel says, but does the leisha have to be done by a Kohen? Now you're telling me that, oh, the lesisa could be done by a non-Kohen, implying that the leisha must be done by a Kohen, but that's not true. The leisha, mi'isa bizrizin. Who says that the leisha has to be done by these Kohanim Zrizin, hey? After all, the Pasuk says, Valksiv, Pasuk tells us, Yotzako leo shemen v'gomer. The Pasuk says that you're allowed to go and put shemen into this oil, and then it says, only afterwards. Now, the girsa of the Pasuk should be, it says on the side, Ve'via el b'nei aron ha-kohanim v'komatz. Only after the leisha is it brought to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim must do kmitza. Kmitza is one of the avoda, it's the taking of a handful of the flour after it's mixed, and that will be taken out and put into klisharis, and that will be brought on the Mizbeach. That's the part that's actually sacrificed of a regular Korban Mincha that a Yisrael brings by Kohen. If he brings a Mincha, the whole thing is put on the Mizbeach. But the Kemitza is normally done by the Kohen, but only the Kemitza. Before that, it could be done by a Zar. It's only after it's already had the Lisha done by a non-Zrizim Kohen, then they veal b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, and they do the Kemitza of a Kamatz. That's the right gear to the Pasuk. So therefore, only mikmitza ve'eloch is it mitzvah bekuhuna with the Zrizim Kohanim. But before that, it could be done even limet al yitzika, the actual pouring of the oil, or the blila, the mixing of the oil, into the flour. Shek sheira b'chaladam. So therefore, how can you tell me that, don't worry, the lisha will be done by Kohanim's reason, and that's why you can use lukewarm water. We see it's not done by Kohanim's reason, it can be done even by a zar, and they're not expert. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference still between lisha and lasisa. The mixing is done, lisha, nihid, there's reason less. It doesn't have to be done by a Kohen, but it's bimkom's reason, isa. But it is in the azara. It must be mixed in the azara, and therefore it's under the supervision of the Kohanim. So even though we may let a Yisrael do it, the Kohanim are watching like hawks. And they're, hey, you better do that better. You better make sure that that doesn't become chametz. Quickly, 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 stir it. Do this, do that. So even though it's done by a non-expert, it's watched by experts. So the lisha, which is done in the azara, as Rashi points out, so therefore that can be done even by a non-Kohen because it's under the supervision of Zrizin. The Amar Mar, as we learned in the Gemara of Menachos, Belila Kisheru Bizar. The mixing can be done by a non-Kohen, however, it must be done in the azara. If you do it chutz l'chomas azara, if you do it outside the azara, they do it in the house and they bring you a mixed dough, psula, that's no good. So therefore, the lisha is done under the supervision of Zrizin, even if it's not done by the actual Zrizin themselves. But the lasisa, lafuke lasisa, the lasisa, the washing it, and making it so you can easily take the chaff off the kernels of wheat, no, the ain of Zrizin, that's not done by the Kohanim, and v'lo b'malkum Zrizin, it's not done under their supervision. So therefore, that we don't allow, because that will be done by people that aren't expert, and therefore it could easily become chametz. So Gemara says, but I'll show you by the Minchas HaOmer, that special carbon that's brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. So there, it of course is gathered and it's sifted and is started to be made, and you do lesisa on it outside the Azara, and it says, b'feirish, the time we learned in the Braisa, that this Minchas HaOmer is allowed, Minchas HaOmer lo senosa, v'tzovrenosa. You are allowed to go and water it so that you can easily go and get the chaff off the barley. This is made out of barley, and it's sifted many, many times, v'tzovrenosa, and then they make it into a pile. So therefore, you see that you are allowed to do lasisa, even though it's not done in the careful presence of Kohanim. There's reason. So how come you're allowed to do this lasisa the carbon mincha? Minchas Omer. So the Gemara says this is a unique carbon tzibur shiny. This is a special carbon tzibur carbon mincha. And therefore, as Rashi points out, in this situation, minchas omer, carbon tzibur hi, the chol asokin shalo, and all of its doings, nasinapi beizdin, and it's carefully watched and under the supervision of beizdin. That's like Kohanim's reason watching it. So ksirasa, it's harvesting the hivuv shalo, and the singeing it, the lasisa, and the rinsing it, the soaking it, hakol bebeizdin ubiz reason hu. So this is like being done in the azara, because it's done under the direct supervision of beizdin, and therefore there is no concern that it will become chametz. Now the Gemara tells us another din. We talked now until a little bit about Maisa Sheni. Rabbi Akiva and Yossi Gli had an argument about Maisa Sheni. Can you use that for the mitzvah's matzah? So now we have Tanu Rabbanan. You might have thought, Yachal Adam Yotzei, Yachal Yotzei Adam Yidei Chavaso Bibikurim. What about using Bikurim? Bikurim are given to the Kohen, they're brought to the base of Migdush, and they're given to the Kohen in his presence. Now, a Kohen is allowed to eat this. You might think that the Kohen could use this to go and make his matzah for Leil Pesach to be Yotzei with the mitzvah matzah from Bikurim. Yochel Yotzei Yodim Yidei Chavoso B'Bikurim. Therefore, I have a pasuk to tell me, no, you can't. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk tells me, B'chol Moshe Oseichem Tochlu Matzos. You have to be able to eat Bikurim in all of your Moshe Oseichem, including outside Yerushalayim. Matzah necheles b'chol moshe seichem. Matzah that can be eaten any place in Eretz Yisrael, so that can be used to fulfill your mitzvah of eating matzah on Leil Pesach, as opposed to yotzu bikurim sheinechol b'chol moshe seichem el Yerushalayim. Bikurim must be in Yerushalayim, and therefore here's a pasuk excluding the bikurim from being used for the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Seder. It's not chametz; you're allowed to eat the rest of Pesach, but you can't use it to fulfill your obligation to eat matzah on Leil Pesach. And again, just like with Maisa Sheni, this was the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili. So Rav Yosef Glili didn't allow to use Maisa Sheni for the mitzvah of eating matzah, and he doesn't allow to use Bikurim. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva gives a different reason why you can't use Bikurim. Here he agrees you can't use Bikurim, but he gives a different reason. We'll eventually shlug this reason up, but for right now he says the reason is a hekesh. You have matzah and maror are written together in the pasuk, and therefore we make a hekesh between matzah and maror. Ma maror she'eno bikurim. There is no obligation to bring bikurim from bitter herbs. The only obligation to bring bikurim are from the seven items that Eretz Yisrael is glorified with: the chita, saora, the tena, rimon, zeis, shemen, udvash. So those, the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, those are the only ones that you bring bikurim. Doesn't say mara, there are no bitter herbs in that group. So therefore, just like mara can't be made from bikurim, so too, because of the hekesh in the pasuk, matzu mara, so af matzah she'ena bikurim. Matzah has to come from something that is not bikurim. And this is very strange. Mora says, if you're telling me this, so then ima mara shein b'mino bikurim. If you're telling me that mara can't be bikurim, so matzah also can't be coming from bikurim, so then af matzah shein b'mino bikurim, matzah has to be made from something that can't become bikurim, return to the Amud Beis, so then we got a big problem, because otzi chitiv is saurin, shein b'mino bikurim, then you shouldn't be allowed to go and bring chita and saorim, because they are a part of the things that are obligated in bikurim. So therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to make matzah out of either wheat or barley. Now, what else do you make matzah from other than wheat? Now, unfortunately, taina, well, what about oats and the spelt and the rye? They're also included in the din of bikurim. They really are included in chitin and saurin. So I think the Rabbeinu Chananel really addresses that. He doesn't say specifically, but the Rabbeinu Chananel over here says that ein aviyim bikurim chutz mishivas haminim. So it's specifically only mentioned chita and saora, even though it may include the others, but it specifically only mentions chita and saorin. That's the havamin over here to say that you can't bring matzah from chit and sarim, but of course you would be allowed to bring it from the spelts, the oats, or the rye. Otherwise, what else would you bring matzah from? Because we said you can't bring it from anything other than the five grains. So the Gemara says, in any event, what is Rabbi Kiva's drasha? Talmud Lomar, matzos, matzos, riba. You are allowed to use the types of grains that can be used for bikurim, but not to bikurim. You can use those types of grains to go and make matzah. That's not a problem. You can be yotzei with grains of chita and sora and the others. You can use them to be fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Pesach, but you can't use bikurim because of this drasha of matzah umarar, the hekish, but matzos comes to tell me that you can use these grains when they're not bikurim for the mitzvah of matzah. More questions, as it says, if that's true, I matzos riba. So then you have the word matzos to tell me that you can use these grains, so it should be also telling you afil bikurim nami. The Rebbe Kiva should have lied to use it even for bikurim. So Gemara says, Taka, you're right. This would actually slug up this hekish over here, and Rebbe Kiva retracts. Hodabe Rebbe Kiva. He says, this isn't the source for telling me that you can't use bikurim. In fact, the Tanya, he learns it out in the following brayso, yocho yetzi odam yidei chavosa bibikurim. You might have thought that a person could, in fact, use bikurim. A kohen who's allowed to eat bikurim is allowed to go and make it into matzah and use it to fulfill his mitzvah in Yerushalayim on the first night of Pesach. Talmud Lomar, we have the pasuk that we just brought down. Talmud Lomar, b'chol moshosechem tochlu matzos, matzah necheles b'chol moshavos, yotzu bikurim shenu necheles b'chol moshavos el Yerushalayim. So the same drasha that Rav Yosef Glidi makes, we see that Rabbi Akiva agrees to now here as well. And therefore, you cannot use the bikurim to go and fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili have the same drasha and the same din. But the more it questions this, it says, now, once you're telling me this, yochol shani motzi af maisa sheni. So then, based upon this, I shouldn't be allowed to eat maisa sheni as well for the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach night, because, after all, it also can't be eaten mechol moshosechem. My sasheni must be in Yerushalayim as well. So therefore, I might have thought Yochel Shani Motzi Af my sasheni. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no, here, Talmud Lomar, Matzos, Matzos, Riba. The extra time it says Matzos in the Pasuk, that comes to include my sasheni being allowed to be eaten for the mitzvah of Pesach, to be Yotzi, the mitzvah of Matzah on Pesach night, that you can use my sasheni, but you can't use Bikurim. So the Gemara says, so you have matzos, matzos, so why are you marbe maisa sheni and excluding bikurim? Do it the other way around. Umari, so l'rabos maisa sheni lo tzi bikurim, do it the other way around. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Kiva would say, marbe ni maisa sheni, he's marbe maisa sheni for the following reason. Sheesh lo heter b'chol moshavos ki the Rabbi. Now the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but inside it says it should be Rabbi Elazar. That's based upon this drosh of Rabbi Elazar. What did Rabbi Elazar say? We'll see in a second. But because of this drasha of Rabbi Elazar, so therefore, umotzi ani bikurim shein lehem heter b'chol moshavos, because maisa sheni does have a heter b'chol moshavos. What happens is, we'll see, if the maisa sheni became tame, so you're allowed to redeem it even in Yerushalayim. So maisa sheni becomes tame, you're allowed to redeem it even in Yerushalayim, so therefore it has a heter across all the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, maisa sheni will marbe for matzos matzos, but bikurim, which doesn't have this same heter, we're not marbe. We exclude that based upon the pasuk which says b'chol moshosechem. So therefore, Gemara says, "Motzani bikurim shein lam hetu b'chol moshavos," as opposed to Ma'aseh Sheni, which does, and that's based upon Rabbi Elazar Drasha. What is that? Amalei again, the gears that we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but should be Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, minayin l'Ma'aseh Sheni shenitma. If Ma'aseh Sheni became tamei, she poden also afil b'yushalayim, that you are allowed to be poded even in Yerushalayim. The pasuk tells us normally you'll have to be poded the Ma'aseh Sheni before it reaches Yerushalayim. Once it comes in Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it anymore. You have to eat in Yerushalayim. But if it became tamei, you can redeem it even in Yerushalayim. Tam alone, the pasuk says, "Kilo suchal se'eso." That the hetter to go and redeem Ma'aseh Sheni before it comes to Yerushalayim is because it's too difficult to carry 1,000 bushels there. You'd rather carry 1,000 bucks. So therefore, you're allowed to go and redeem it. The ein seis el achila, and seis means achila, and therefore, and we learned this from last week's parsha Shemav. He saw masos me'ez ponov when Yosef puts the extra food inside Binyamin's bag, so it says Masos Binyamin. So Shinemar Yisro Masos Mieis Panav, and therefore we see that this lashon of Masos is referring to eating. So when it says Kilo Suchal Seeso, it means whenever you can't eat it, then you're allowed to redeem it. So even if it's in Yerushalayim and you can't eat it, you're still allowed to redeem it. So therefore, technically, Ma'aseh Sheni, even outside Yerushalayim, can be eaten when it's Tameh, so then you're allowed to go and redeem it. So therefore, this Ma'aseh Sheni is technically considered B'chol Moshe Sechem, and that's why Rabbi Kiva says Matzos Marasos is coming to be Marbe Ma'aseh Sheni, but it comes to exclude the din. B'chol Moshe Sechem comes to exclude Bikurim. Now the Gemara says, Man Shamas Lei Yomer B'Ma'aseh Sheni Nofik Pei. Who is the author over here that says that with Ma'aseh Sheni, one can fulfill his obligation of eating matzah on Pesach night? We learned this early in the shiur today. That was the first machlokes we had between Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva. And therefore, the komamayit lu lebikurim mikol moshul seichem, he excludes bikurim because of kol moshul seichem, and he's the one that says you can eat ma'aseh sheni in Yerushalayim and be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with ma'aseh sheni. Obviously, he retracted his opinion about the matzos matzos to be marba the bikurim, and therefore the matzos matzos is only used over here for ma'aseh sheni. And this opinion that he said that we learned it out from the drasha of matzos umar from the hekish is retracted. Gemara now asks Rav Yosef Glili, tepuk lei melechem oni. Why doesn't he learn out that you can't have bikurim from the drasha of lechem oni? Tebele mi lechem oni, mishenechab oni. You're only allowed to eat it ba'oni. So therefore, when you're in aninos, you can't eat it. So therefore, you should have been able to exclude that bikurim also can't be eaten ba'aninos. So therefore, why did Rabbi Yosef Glili need this pasuk b'chol moshul seichem? He could have learned it out from the pronunciation of the word oni, ayin, and aleph are interchangeable here. His drasha from earlier, that just like you can't eat ma'aseh sheni ba'oni, and that's how you know that you can't have ma'aseh sheni to be yotzei with the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach night, so too, bikurim can't be eaten ba'oni, and therefore it should have excluded from that. Why isn't it the pasuk kol moshul seichem? So Gemara says, no, because Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that you can eat bikurim when you are in aninus. Sover like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds, the Tanya, we learned in a brisa, that bikurim asurim la'onein, that the Tanakhama says that bikurim aren't allowed to eat by an onein, but Rabbi Shimon is matir. He says that you are allowed to eat them by aninus, and therefore Rabbi Yosef Glili says, bikurim could be eaten by aninus. I don't have the drasha from lechem oni, that you can't eat it by aninus. Mishenecha ba'oni is excluded. So therefore, he needs the pasuk b'chol moshul seichem. Now the Gemara said, we have this machlokus between the Chacham, the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Shimon about can you eat bikurim when you're in aninus and not. So my time the Rabbanon, what is the reasoning of the Rabbanon that say that you can't eat the bikurim when you're in aninus? So the Chsiv, because the pasuk says, lo sucha lecho b'sharecha, you can't eat it inside your cities. And it says, utrumas yodecha, and it says over there, also the truma of your hand. For Amar Mar, and we learn Trumas Yodecha El Bikurim. That's a reference to Bikurim, and it says the Iskash Bikurim Maaser, and it's compared over there with the Maaser. Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharecha Masad Digoncha B'Sirushcha Yitzarecha UTrumas Yodecha, and likewise you can't have Trumas Yodecha, and therefore this Hekish between Bikurim and Maaser, the Tanakhama says Ma Maaser also Leonein Af Bikurim Asurim also Leonein. The Bikurim are also also for the Onein. That's the Tanakhama's explanation why an onen can't eat bikurim. No, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? Rabbi Shimon, he says, Truma Karinu Rachmana. The Torah does call bikurim Truma, but it therefore has the same din as Truma, Kid Truma. And surprisingly, Ma Truma Muteris L'onen. An onen is allowed to eat Truma, and only not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. But an onen is actually allowed to eat Truma. So therefore, we compare the bikurim, which are referred to as Trumas Yodecha, to bikurim to Truma, and therefore my Truma Muteris L'Onin, not Bikurim Muter L'Onin. The Bikurim are also allowed to be eaten by an Onin. No, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, need the Hekish lesson. Okay, he doesn't have the Hekish between the Truma of Yodecha, which is the Bikurim, and the beginning part of the pasuk says Ma'is Hasheni. So Rabbi Shimon, okay, great, Nihi Dehekis Lastly, but what about Simcha Mia Michtav Chsiva Bahu? But it says by that you have to have V'Samachta, the V'Samachta B'Chol HaTov. So it says by Bikurim that you have to have Simcha, and if you're in Aninus, you don't have Simcha. So how come even if you don't have this Hekish that the Chachamim have to exclude Bikurim from being eaten by Aninus? So even if he doesn't have the Hekish, because he compares the Trumas Yodecha to Truma, so he doesn't compare to Ma'is Hasheni, but nevertheless, what about the Simcha aspect V'Samachta B'Chol HaTov that should exclude you from having the Bikurim because you're not B'Simcha when you're an Aninus? So Gemara says, no, that's a reference. V'Samachta B'Chol HaTov means at that time of the year, but it doesn't mean specifically. How L'Zman Simcha D'Yosu, that the Bikurim are brought B'Zman Simcha, but Lav Davka have to be eaten B'Simcha. And Rechmon L'Zman, if somebody's an Aninus, according to Rabbi Shimon, they still are allowed to go and eat Bikurim, just like they can eat Truma. It's only a special thing that you can't have Ma'is Hasheni. And this is how L'Zman Simcha D'Yosu, the Bikurim must be brought in the time of Simcha, that not, because we learned in the Mishnah, Mishnah tells us, Me'atzeres, Atzeres is always the terminology we use for Chag Shavuos, Me'atzeres, V'yadachag, from Shavuos until Sukkot, that's when you bring your Bikurim, maybe, you bring the Bikurim, V'kari, and you say the Psukim that you say when you bring the Bikurim. After Sukkot, then you just bring it, but you don't say the Psukim. Me'achag, from Sukkot and onwards, V'yad Chanukah, up until Chanukah time, maybe you do still bring Bikurim, but V'yadachag, but you don't say the Psukim. So therefore, he has no problem that the Bikurim have to be eaten V'samachta. It doesn't apply to the Bikurim. It applies to the time of the Bikurim, but not to the eating of the Bikurim. Now we have another brisa that tells us, again, Lechem Oni. What does that mean? Tanu Rabbanan. The pasuk says Lechem Oni. So here we darshan out Prat, excluding L'cholut, excluding that dough that was made by scalding it, by putting it very quickly into boiling water. V'lashisha. And also this other type of choshev dough called ashisha, which we'll explain in a moment what exactly that is. So I might have thought that the lechem oni comes to exclude using this cholut type of dough and the ashisha type of dough. So yochalo yetzi odem yechavosu elav pas hadra. So once I can't use these fancier types of doughs, I might have thought that you must use only matzah hadra. Matzah hadra is like whole wheat grains, that you can't do anything to it. You have to have the coarsest type of grain, matzah pas hadra. So therefore, Talmud Lomar, matzos, matzos riba. From the extra word matzos, it comes to include that even other things other than cholut and ashisha are allowed to be used. You can use sifted flour. You don't have to use whole wheat coarse flour. Talmud Lomar, matzos, matzos riba comes to include not only pas hadra, but other types of pas, except you can't use cholut and ashisha. And therefore, bafilu kematzos shoshlomo, even the very, very finely sifted matzos that they use in the time of Shlomo Melech, we always use that as an example of the best suda, so therefore you're allowed to do that. So imkein matamud lama lechemoni, so then why do you need lechemoni? If I can use even the best types of flour, so why is it called lechemoni? Ah, that's prat l'cholut lashisha, the bedafka, it's only excluding these two types of fancy matzos, cholut and ashisha. Now, umay mashu the hayashisha lishno de chashivusa. How do we know that this is a language of chashivus? Because the pasuk says, when David HaMelech brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, after it was away, it was captured by the Plishtim, and he brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. So it says, he gave out to all the people, to all the Jewish people that were there, lemiish radisha, the man and woman, leish chalas lechem. He gave to everybody a chalas lechem, achas, one chalas lechem, the eshbar echad. We'll explain in a moment what eshbar is, and vashisha echad. So he gave them an ashisha, the gomer. Now, what are these things? Rav Chanan bar Abba said that eshbar means echad mishisha b'par. He gave everybody a sixth of a par. That's a lot of meat. And ashisha is a sixth also, echad mishisha b'efa. That's a lot of bread. And therefore, we see that this is a choshev thing. It's a very large bread. So this cholut and ashisha are excluded from using them for eating matzah on Pesach night. But this drasha is disagreed to by Shmuel. Upligi Shmuel. The Shmuel says, the Amar Shmuel, he says, ashisha means garba dechamra. It means, he says, a flask, a jug of wine. Dechsiv, v'ohave ashishe anovim. He says that the word ashishe comes to deal with wine and not with a large amount of flour. So Shmuel disagrees with this drasha. The next Tanu Rabbanan starts a new sugya, so we'll stop over here. This concludes today's shiur.